I'm going to really try to unpack this. Let me just tell you a little bit about what's happening with me with this wonderful letter from the Ephesians. I've been going through this. God keeps bringing me back to it, and it's wonderful what he does. However, he keeps showing me different things, and the one thing that popped up in my spirit was heavenly realms, which may be your translation, or heavenly places. And I'm like, wow, that is such a cool thing. What is God getting? What is Paul telling God? What is God telling Paul about this? So what I wanted to do is just take a look at it. Now, it's said five times in this book of Ephesians, this letter. And it's nowhere else. It's nowhere else where you see heavenly places. So I think this is very important in this book. So let's start with a prayer first. Father, thank you so much for your blessings upon us. I thank you that you show me things. You show us all things in the scripture. And I'm asking, Lord, that you can help me to unpack this well and to share the truth that are in this passage. So, Father, just be with me, and may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable unto you, for you are our rock and our refuge. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Am I too loud? Because I get louder. Am I good? Okay, good. Ephesians 1, 3 through 6. We're going to go through a lot of Ephesians, but so keep your fingers in your Bibles on Ephesians. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. It is just a crazy world right now. And us human beings are incredible things, aren't we? We can put people on the moon. We can feed thousands of people. We can give. We have big hearts. But we're also terrible sometimes. In the world, whether it's a different religion or whether it's us being apathetic about things, we are bombarded by so much stuff, it's hard for us to grasp who we are. This psalm hit me when I read it, and I thought this is where I'd start the sermon, and it's Psalm 8. You can go to Psalm 8 if you want, or you can just listen to it. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes, to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen and all the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. I guess when David wrote that, he was struggling with the same things we struggle with. Who are we that you would consider us worthy of existing, basically. All the wonderful things we can do, but all the terrible things we can do. Who are we? What was the plan? And why haven't you started over again? When I look at this and I realize that God said we are, our Father in heaven made us, I mean, you and me, a little lower than the heavenly beings. And that's just not angels, it's the higher beings, the divine council, you want to call them, the four angels that are behind the throne, the 24 elders that stand around the throne, that throw their crown. We're just a little lower than them. It's an incredible thing. And I often wondered about, why does he let us keep going the way we're going? When I think about the world and how it is, and I think about the fall, we were created to subdue the world. We were supposed to multiply and subdue the world. I think we were supposed to take Eden and make the whole world an Eden. I think that was our major purpose. So that's why we had dominion over everything. But when Lucifer came, that sly serpent being, he messed it up. We believed his lie that we could be just as God. And you know the whole story. It's a wonderful, terrible, wonderful story, because during that time, after we fell, God gave us a redemption in chapter 3, when he said that the seed will be planted that will eventually redeem us, which is Christ. All right. So we're actually blessed by God because he still has us here. And I always wondered about that. Why in the world are we still here? If he could create everything in 6 days, I think Jesus being, or God being, the Holy Spirit being all-powerful, he could have created everything in 6 seconds. But for our benefit, he created us in 6 days so we could follow along and understand his greatness. But also, this is what's kind of got me. He could erase everything with a snap of a finger. Wouldn't it be interesting if he just said, well, these people, I can see through the future. I see what happens. He's omniscient. He knows he's eternal, so he sees the beginning and the end. He saw all the mess we were going to get in, all the thousands or millions of people who would die in wars and rumors, and I saw the rumors in wars, how horrible we could be. And instead of going like this and starting over again, he let it continue with the plan to redeem us eventually through his son Jesus Christ dying on a cross, to take all the sins of the world upon him, and then whoever believes in him will be free. All right, that's the story. That's the gospel story. We know it was a mystery to the Jews at the time, but not to us at this time. So why still? Here's why. Because he loves you. He saw every one of you at the moment that you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Not only that, he saw every one of you even as saints in heaven, with him in heaven. That's incredible. So because he sees you, and he sees you, and you, and you, and you, and all of us here, and all the other Christians who've come to know him, it was worth the turmoil through the centuries, because he saw us with him in heaven. And he couldn't bear the thought of us not existing with him. So that's why we're here. That's why he didn't start over again. He didn't make us automatons and robots that we have to be programmed to love him. He gave us the free will not to. But he gave us a way to get back to him. And that's Christ. So what this passage to me is telling me is that that first of all, we've been blessed. But before that, I want to talk about verse 4. That you have been chosen before the beginning of creation. And I'm not talking about predestination versus free will and all that. I'm somewhat Calvinist and somewhat Arminius. I'm kind of like in the middle. I'm kind of like the kind of person that would, if you look down the railroad tracks, one person would be on one side of the railroad track, the other person on the other, saying, "I'm Calvin. I'm free will." If you look way down to eternity, kind of comes together. So I don't really talk about that. I want to talk about how we come to know Christ and how we're chosen by him, because he is omniscient. He sees every one of you which have accepted him. So you're chosen and you're blessed. But what else are we? And that passes. Verse 5 states this: "In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ," or sons and daughters through Jesus Christ. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Okay, can you get that in your, can you put it in there? You are a son and daughter to the Most High God. The creation of the universe calls you his daughter, calls you his son. We can call him Abba Father. We can call him Dad. Our relationship can be that close because of what Jesus done on the cross. That is such a cool thing to think. And it gives, this is the cool thing, it gives the Father great joy and great pleasure to be able to call us his sons and daughters. It's not like, oh, well, we're going to have to take some of them in. No, he wants us to be with him. He finds joy in that. It's great for him to be. And Jesus, even going to the cross, said in Hebrews that he endured the cross because of the joy that was set before him, because he knew that we'd be his brother. That's pretty amazing. We're blessed too. Ephesians 1:15 through 23 talks about Jesus. I'm going to read it. "For this reason, because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." This is Paul writing. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his great might? That he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." Okay. When Jesus died, when the Son of God died, when God died on the cross and was raised again by his power through the Father, he became the full authority now. He has taken away in the heavenly realms the authority that Satan and the devil had here, and now he is the full authority. In fact, you have go with this Matthew 28:18-20, which says, Jesus says, "I have full authority on heaven and in hell." He's the main guy, heaven and earth. So what does that make us? If we are his brothers and sisters, and we call on our big brother about anything, he will be there for us. It's almost like a little kid who's being bullied. And he brings his big brother to school, and he's standing there, and the bullies come up to him, and he's standing there like, I can't defeat these guys. But they look at you, and then they look up, and they see your big brother, and they run away. Do you understand what you have in Christ Jesus, this full authority? It's an exciting, isn't it? Can I hear an amen? I mean, if you don't believe it, don't say amen. But it's exciting to think that we have full authority through Christ. So that's why we say in all our prayers most of the time, in Jesus' name. What we're saying is when we pray, we're giving full authority to Jesus for what we need. And he'll do the right thing for us. So we're positioned and seated with Jesus. Ephesians 2, 4 through 10. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he has loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might know the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Know your position. Know your inheritance. You are heirs. You've been adopted into princes and princesses. Is that princesses? You have been. All right, so I want you to look at this. It immediately brought me back to Luke 15, the story of the prodigal son. Or should I say prodigal sons? Because we know what happened. I mean, I think you probably all know the story, so I'm not going to go through the whole thing. But there's two sons. The one is rebellious. The other one is faithful, or stays home. Here's what is said by that Jesus said in the parable. And he said, Jesus said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Do you catch that? Who received their inheritance? Both of them. One went off, ruined himself, ruined his inheritance, lost everything, but had enough sense to come back to his father, who was waiting for him all the time. There was not probably a moment where his father was not waiting for him. You know that story. But I want you to think about the other prodigal son who was mean and angry at his brother for coming back, did not want to have the thing. Even when the fatted calf was killed and the ring was put on his brother's finger for coming back, he was angry, indignant. And what does the father say to him? And the father said to him, Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. Okay. When you get to know Jesus and you become a son and daughter of Jesus Christ, of the Father, of the Spirit, all is given to you. That means if you see someone who's fallen, do you get indignant? Do you get mad that once he comes into church, you should just give them a hug and say, well, welcome. This is so good. Let's go kill the fatted calf. You have one in the back anywhere in your refrigerator or something? Go kill the fatted calf. Bring them in. Give them a gold ring. Well, maybe that's a little much, but you know what I mean. You are the ones that out in the field that are working for God. And when those people who are out there are lost, we're the ones that God has entrusted us to be here for him. So we can't be like that son. Whenever we see someone's fall in the church, or if we see someone who doesn't even know Jesus, and we can bring them in, we should be rejoicing like the angels in heaven are rejoicing. That's where you're seated. Okay. Do you realize that you're seated with Jesus? Do you know how awesome this church is? Do you know at this moment you're the most powerful thing in the universe? When you gather like this with your brother Jesus, the light that shines out of this place just wipes out the darkness, because we have a full authority through Christ. We need to be able to understand that when we go out of this place, we still have full authority. So what do we do with this? Put it on the full armor of God. And that's where at the end of, I'm going to cut this short a little bit, but this is where we hit. I'm going to read it. You know it already, but I want to emphasize something with you. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle with flesh or blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. In the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. You know the armor. You've read this before. Read it again. Read all of Ephesians all week. It'll blow your mind. But I want to look at a couple places here. The shoes of your feet, which brings you someplace. But the most important thing to me is most of this is defensive. The helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, they're all kind of to help you with the attacks that are coming from the darts that the devil throw at you, that try to tell you that you're not a son and daughter of Jesus Christ. This is where our fight is. It's in heavenly realms. But there's two things that are offense that we can use as an offense. One is the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, the truth, that we can hold that sword up anywhere we go and say it to people. And it will not come back void. They may get angry at you if you quote scripture, or if you know scripture enough to know that this is wrong and this is right through what Jesus said, or what God said through scripture. And the other one is prayer and supplication. Prayer and falling down before him and intercessing. Those are your two offensive weapons that you can use when you go out. And I know you do this. But here's what I want you to do, though. I know you go out, maybe bring tracts around and tell people in Jonestown. I know you've been doing that. And that's great. Here's another thing. Since you know who you are, and have full authority in the heavenly realms, pray over every house you walk by. Whether you live in town, whether you live out in the country, you're driving by your farmer friends who don't go anywhere, pray I don't even think about praying about church. I pray in the heavenly realms that whatever stronghold, whatever ideology, whatever idol is holding them back, that in the name of Jesus, who has full authority over that, you release them from that and have the Holy Spirit come upon them. Okay? That's where we're working, because that is where the problem is in the heavenly realms where the princes and the and all authorities that are surrounding us. It's not the people. Jesus loves every sinner, loves every Muslim, loves every Hindu. They're lost. The stakes are heaven and hell. And he put us here to try to get people to heaven. So that's our job. So I'm freeing you from having to think you have to work for this, because you can't work for it, and you can't get brownie points because he loves you infinitely already. It ain't going to help you to get bigger in heaven. You'll have your heavenly place. You'll have your mansion, whatever you want to call it, your dwelling place. You already have that. What you're doing is, for the sake of God, be compelled by him because he's your brother. It's awesome. So that's my charge for you, to realize who you are. And you have full, like Adam and Eve, like Adam, you have dominion. And we have a battle to fight. We've won the war already. We know where we're going. We just got to try to see if we can bring some of those prodigals back. This is interesting. Let me just read you every passage that has heavenly places in it. I'm just going to run right down them. See what you think. We're going to start with Ephesians 1:3 and end with 6:12. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That is like, blew me away when I read that. It's like, is this a synopsis of what he's saying in the whole thing? Pretty cool. All right, so we got work to do, don't we? Well, we can stand tall. We got Big Brother behind us. We're not worried about anybody, any people. We're not worried about death, because death brings us to life. What we're worried about is our brothers and sisters that aren't going to make it. If we don't share the truth and we find in the Word and pray with supplication, the two biggest things we have is our weapons, and go from there. Ephesians, which one is it? One more thing I want to share as soon as I find it. Here it is. 2:10. Ephesians 2, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in him. Created in Christ by good works? No. Created in Christ for good works. So let's get working. Amen? Let's pray. Father, your word is amazing. we can stand tall as brothers and sisters with the Son, Jesus Christ, who through his death and resurrection has seated us next to him in the heavenly places. Lord, help the heart of Christ to be strong, to understand who they are, to realize how powerful they are because they follow you. And we ask, Lord, we all ask that you continue to bless this church as it defeats the strongholds in this area. We are so grateful. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.